evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I'd like to welcome my co-host, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Planning Commission, and Matt Assad, its Managing Editor. So our show tonight will look under the hood into something that most drivers probably don't consider when they're traveling along Route 22 or Interstate 78, or even the smallest rural road. A lot of analysis went into classifying what type of road it is before a single sign was placed on it. This evening, we're going to talk about all the data work that happens long before rubber meets the road. To explain this intricate process, we have as our guest the LVPC's Faria Urmi. Faria joined the LVPC in January as Regional Plan Program Manager, focused on transportation projects. Skilled in quantitative research, data analysis, urban design, and project management, Faria is leading a reclassification of the region's road network, helping to develop the Lehigh Valley housing supply and attainability strategy, and later this year will be leading the update of future LV, the regional plan. Before joining the LVPC, she was a planner for 4 years in the Memphis and Shelby County, Tennessee. Faria earned her Bachelor of Architecture in 2017 from the Bangladesh University of Engineering and Technology, her Master of City and Regional Planning from the University of Memphis, and her Master of Business Administration from the University of Cumberland in Williamsburg, Kentucky in 2022. Matt, roadway functional classification is probably a term most people have never heard of. I've certainly never said it before. What is it?
Yes, roadway functional classification, that's one of those PennDOT terms that makes you want to move on to something else. PennDOT, I guess us by extension sort of have these terms that make you think something is boring, but this is actually kind of interesting because it's a lot of data and a lot of analysis that goes into deciding how what a road's purpose is. You know, it determines how the road is signed, maybe if it gets traffic signals, how many vehicles it's designed for, you know, what speed limit it might get, and a bunch of other variables you probably wouldn't consider as you're a driver. It's basically grouping roads into categories based on how they're used. And it needs to get done periodically because things change. Populations change, development happens, communities change, and Faria is leading the current update right now, and we've had a lot of change.
I'm just thinking now of a few roads that I travel every day, and sometimes I wonder, why is the speed limit so mostly, in my case, it's just not high enough. I'd like to go faster. But it sounds like this functional classification is part of determining those things. And Becky, why is it important that this is done?
It's important for a couple of reasons. The classifications not only determine the speed limit, but how a road is signed, whether it can get certain types of traffic signalization, how we think about pedestrian connectivity and sidewalk treatments, bus stops, bike lanes. It also allows us to prioritize road segments for federal and state funding. And it allows us also to continue to monitor the performance of the roadway network overall.
Okay, so how long has it been since this was last done in our region?
It was last done in 2015, so 10 years ago. And that periodic reclassification is necessary because obviously traffic patterns and volumes have changed and therefore communities have changed. So our population in that 10 years has increased by more than 40,000 people. And vehicle miles traveled has increased by nearly 1 million miles a day, from 13.9 million miles a day to 14.8 million miles a day. I mean, just think about that. Also, too, you throw in things like we have a lot more business activity. Everybody knows about freight activity, and local governments in the Lehigh Valley have approved over 48 million new square feet of industrial. But there's also been new office product when, you know, office development has declined all across the country because of COVID-19. Ours has actually increased with a pretty high occupancy rate, and that's because of our growth. And, you know, we also have a lot more small businesses, a lot more, you know, services, increase in hospitals. So all of that is more, right? So that means more traffic on the road.
And you see some roads, they change how they're being used. Like roads like 191 used to just wind between neighborhoods and municipalities, and that's how people got from one borough to the next. But now there's so many businesses on those that the actual use of that road is completely different. So if you didn't sort of change the classification every once in a while, it would not function properly because it just would be misused.
Right. Now, Becky did mention a few things about how the region has changed, but Matt, tell us a little bit more about how the region changed since 2015.
Well, I think she did mention the main things. I mean, our population has changed a lot, and we can count on that. So that kind of happens every time. The reason, you know, you might have a situation where you think, well, the classification doesn't have to be re-updated now. In this region, it always has to be, because our population, you can count on 40,000 people, more people coming here in a decade's time. It just has, that's been happening for 6 or 7 decades. So you can count on that happening. So there really isn't a decade where you think, well, we didn't have changes. We certainly had different changes in this decade than we certainly had the previous decade. So she mentioned the 48,000 square feet of industrial. That is all of the sort of logistics and distribution centers. And that's a lot of jobs. So we know that one, that field now has, along with transportation, has like 37,000 people working in. So all of those buildings have all of those people working, and they're all traveling to these buildings. So a lot of change has happened, you know, and of course, the one that's most relevant, the one that you mentioned, is a million more miles traveled within the Lehigh Valley a day. That's kind of mind-boggling. Every single day, there's another 1 million miles being traveled. So that just tells you that miles that's being found on whatever roads there are, and large portions of that could be on 1 or 2 or 3 roads, and those roads certainly need to be reclassified.
I bet one of those is Route 22, my favorite topic. Aria, can you talk about some of the data analysis that goes into this?
Sure. So we have taken a very data-driven approach, following procedures from both Federal Highway Administration's manual and also Pennsylvania Department of Transportation's manual to determine the appropriate functional classification to collect traffic generators or trip generators. What is a traffic generator? Any kind of land use or facility or activity that produce vehicles or trips which add demand to your transportation network. So things like larger colleges, hospitals, industrial parks, regional shopping centers, we layered those land uses along with population and employment density, along with our bus routes and PennDOT's urbanized area boundaries. We also used a geographic system, a mapping tool, that's ArcGIS, to visualize where all these activities actually overlap, which highlights the busiest zones. On top of that, we analyzed traffic volumes using a term called average annual daily traffic. That means number of vehicles that travel on a particular road in both directions per day over a year. So we saw that some of the corridors are now carrying volumes at or above the threshold for their current classification capacity. So they are the clear candidates for an upgrade. Finally, we also cross-referenced those with the crash data to see where safety needs line up with functional needs. So all of this come together to make sure that the proposed reclassification reflects how people actually live, work, play, and travel in their region today, and where the growth is headed tomorrow. We not only consider the data-driven approach, that is the science part of it, we also consider the art piece of it. Those are like the history and memory of a place, your lived experiences, your sense of a place, identity, human scale, and nature of design of a roadway system. So we have taken into account both the science and the art pieces to come to the conclusion of our analysis.
See how complex that is? Faria is exactly qualified to do that.
Right. And Faria, how many roads are being analyzed?
So we have been analyzing roughly thousands of segments of individual roads across hundreds of roads in the region. From initial analysis, we identified 44 roads that are qualified to get updated to functional classification, but that's a very much starting point. We have submitted our initial review to PennDOT, both central office and district office. And after their feedback, we will again refine our analysis and the final number will be lower than 44.
We'll be taking this to the Lehigh Valley Transportation Study, which is our transportation planning board, in September on the 17th. It's a virtual meeting that we have every month with our Lehigh Valley Transportation Study board. The LVTS meeting's at 9 a.m. It's virtual. You can find the information at lvpc.org for that meeting. And Faria and Dr. Stabam Carell and Evan Gardy and a couple of the other transportation and data team members will be going through that big list of potential candidates for upgrade.
So Faria, when a road is reclassified, how does it change how it's treated? Would drivers notice anything different?
Sure. When a road is reclassified, mainly the change is primarily administrative or planning in nature, meaning it influences how the road is viewed within the broader transportation network. The new classification can determine what type of federal or state funding the road is eligible for, or what design standards should be applied into it, and how it will be prioritized for improvement on project selection within long-range transportation planning or even in capital improvement plans. For the average drivers, the reclassification does not create an instant visible change. The pavement does not suddenly look different the next morning, but over time, you will see the impact becomes noticeable. For example, a road upgrade can be to a higher functional classification might see better pavement quality or a better signal or intersection upgrade, improve safety features, or more frequent maintenance, since it now carries a more or greater regional significance. Similarly, reclassification can also help ensure that high traffic roads are designed to better handle that current and future demand, which can translate to smoother commute and safer travel. So while the drivers may not feel the effect the next day of the functional classification change, but they will obviously benefit in the long run to better investment, improved safety, and more consistent performance of the roadway.
In some more extreme cases, couldn't the speed limit change?
Yes, the speed limit will sometimes change, but that will not be like overnight thing. Yeah, that will eventually happen
more
with the design, with the pavement widening or shoulder change, that kind of design.
Or it might get a left turning lane or some, it would be over time, some of these things would happen.
Yeah.
You don't know why they happened. It was because there was an analysis.
Right.
That started with it.
Right. But the classification has to meet the criteria to do certain upgrades. So it really does help the safety and congestion management, all these cool things that, we need to do in order to maintain and improve the system. I think another thing that's really important too, and we probably don't talk about this enough, but as the classification of the roadways increase, it actually offers opportunities to do more intelligent transportation system work. And I mean, we have them in the Lehigh Valley already, but maybe not as many as we ultimately would like, but we have smart signal technology in several corridors and it learns the patterns of traffic in different times, different days of the week, even different weeks of the month. And then it adjusts automatically those signal timings to make sure that the congestion is mitigated, that there's longer crossing times for pedestrians if it's around a school. I mean, there's so many cool things that are out there now that actually are not that expensive to install in the greater scheme of transportation costs that this classification project can help support.
So Becky, can you talk about some of the roads that you are recommending for changes? Are any being downgraded?
No downgrades. downgrades are you can only do if it's less traffic. Not a single road in the Lehigh Valley, unless it was closed, has less traffic. We do have a number of roads that we're going to be talking to the Lehigh Valley Transportation Study about. American Parkway, for example. It's classified as a minor arterial now. It's proposed to be upgraded to an other principal arterial because it's taking higher traffic volumes. Tillman Street, minor arterial, also upgrade to principal, other principal arterial. Same with Route 100. 8th Street in Allentown, from a major collector to a minor arterial. Major collector is more of a local road, but now it's starting to hit that arterial status, which means, and you know, think about it in terms of your body, an arterial vein or part of your circulatory system is a major route, right? So it's going into major route status or higher importance route status. Catasauqua Road, Citronia Road, 13th Street in Easton, various forms of collectors that we're proposing to move up to different types of arterial roads.
Sorry, I interrupted before, but I wanted to clarify, what's an example of it being downgraded?
Oh, an example of a downgrade is it takes less traffic. And so then you would change the functional classification of the road, and then speeds would be lowered. You would have less design options for that facility. And again, we don't have any roads to qualify for less. No. We have plenty of roads to qualify for more upgrades.
I mean, it's not unquestioned that can't happen. I mean,
sure,
a big company could close, and all of a sudden the primary arterial to it could change. That just hasn't happened around here. In this run, and I didn't ask this question, I should have, 44 roads changing. Is that like some kind of record? Because it feels like a lot.
Since it's like been a very long time, 10 years ago, we did our last functional classification change. And with so much growth happening, yeah, in Lehigh Valley, I do not see it as a surprise or record-breaking occasion.
So Becky, are there other places where you will be able to use all the data and analysis that was done for this project?
Oh my gosh, yes. Fari and I have been building a list, and just from what we're learning from this process, Faria manages the update of the regional plan, and we're doing a lot of data updates right now. This feeds into that for the regional plan update, which you'll hear a lot more about in 2026 and 2027. We can use it for our safety work as well. I mean, we could use it for everything from economic modeling to basic planning work, and local governments definitely need it when they think about planning for their road networks and what it may mean in their community. They could even evolve their subdivision and land development regulations to accommodate different types of treatments when new development comes in along different road types. So there's so many things that not only we can use it for, but the State Department of Transportation, local governments, even the private sector can use this information for.
Okay. And Faria, what happens next? Where does this all go from here? And when might drivers notice some of these changes?
Right now, as I have said, that we have been working closely with PennDOT to review and refine the proposed roadway classification update. We have also been working to develop an interactive online mapping tool so that every people can see the current and proposed roadway categories side by side. So it's clear why changes are being proposed or recommended. To make sure the process is more transparent by showing on a map how each road connects to the traffic generators and the plan growth, the areas identified in our future LV, the regional plan. Later this year or like next month, September, as Becky mentioned, that we will take this recommendation and the process to the Lehigh Valley Transportation Study. They will review our refined proposed list and for approval. After their approval, it will go to the PennDOT, and after that, it will also go to Federal Highway Administration for their final approval. If approved, the new classification built into the official maps and on our different planning documents we use to decide how to prioritize projects or to spend those transportation federal dollars. And for drivers, nothing changes overnight, as I have mentioned, but over time, obviously, reclassification helps bring more investment, better maintenance, and more safety upgrades to the roads that needed the most.
And this is kind of me, my own curiosity, kind of throwing in an extra question we didn't even discuss, but I think we've talked about in the past that some reclassifications in other areas, it's a many-year process sometimes, but it seems like PennDOT appears is addressing this one pretty quickly. And I think it probably directly is related to our growth and sort of the needs. Am I right about that?
I agree, yeah.
And speaking of PennDOT, Becky, will all of these recommendations to PennDOT be accepted, or are they accepted already?
Well, it's a process, and it's rightfully so a process that's outlined in some federal U.S. Department of Transportation guidance. So Faria had mentioned earlier on that we have met with PennDOT, both the central office out in Harrisburg, as well as our district office, to go over just the math of the functional classification updates and what we found in pulling the traffic data. And then we walked through over 40 of those potential roads and segments of roads that were eligible for a different classification. They then, you know, went back and said, okay, well, let's figure out if this makes sense. We even went back after that really valuable conversation and said, okay, some of these roads go through a historic borough, and there is no way we should be speeding up traffic in this location. They don't have the ability to have the wider shoulder widths to increase, you know, speed limits and other things. So this segment of this road might not make sense, but other segments that don't have those types of development characteristics on the same road may make sense for upgrade. So there's been a lot of refinement back and forth, and it's been a very positive partnership in getting to where we are at this moment. Our next step is, again, to take it to our transportation board to start to be vetted, and then it'll go through an adoption process, which includes a letter of basically concurrence from the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation before it makes its way up to the federal government for final approval.
Yeah, and as we said, this our process appears to be accelerated, so we feel pretty fortunate.
Oh, that's great. So, Faria, were there any data points about these roads that really surprised you?
Yes. One of the surprising things that I found was that how quickly some roads have reached their traffic volumes. It's well above what their current classification is meant to handle. In several cases, corridors that were originally designed as local or collectors now are carrying volumes more typical of an arterial. Another surprising thing that I have seen in my analysis or in my journey of doing this was the mapping system that we have created. We called it a Muddy Map tool. It lead up around certain regional destinations like hospitals, universities, and large shopping centers, showing how much daily activities those places are generating and how strongly they shape travel patterns. Seeing those dark, muddy layered areas on the map really actually drove home that the transportation system is evolving faster in some locations than many of us might even imagine or expect.
Yeah, and even as we're doing this, we are also doing population forecasts. So we know looking ahead that we probably can't wait another 10 years to do the next one.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea is that you do them when you need to do them,
yes.
Right? And really the last 5 years has seen this incredible spike in growth. And so it made sense to do it now. We're definitely not behind. I think we were very judicious in not jumping the gun and going for reclassification and then having to do it a second time and spend that energy, you know, twice when we could easily work on this and time it with the update of the regional plan now. And it really aligned with this huge recent period of growth.
And we talked about it. It would not have been the right time to do it right after the pandemic because the roads mm-hmm. were not, it was an odd time and you weren't going to get the right data for that. It was going to be artificial. So you kind of had to wait until that whole thing played out, which is kind of right now. I mean,
sure.
Now everything is kind of back up to the way it was.
Yeah. Sure. But I do think you guys have a point in there too, that it might not be as long between this update cycle and the next if we continue on this same growth pattern. We'll have to make a decision in 4 years, one after the next regional plan update happens. By the way, we update the transportation plan every 4 years. So we look at what information we're going to need and what we want to update, what we need to update as part of that. So there probably won't be as much time outside of some major economic shift between what we're doing now and in the next plan update.
I don't believe you touched on this, but how long did it take to do this assessment, the current one?
We started, I think, 3 or 4 months ago with our calculation and analysis and mapping. And yeah, that's the timeline that we have followed.
And then just like this just popped into my head. I'm trying to visualize how this, you know, data gets collected. And I'm thinking about when you're driving and you see those two black kind of cord-like things going across the road. And when, you know, I used to think it was speed traps, but is that part of the analysis that's counting how many people are going over that roadway?
Okay, so all of those traffic counts, it's part of what's called a highway performance monitoring system. And we do many, 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 many traffic counts every year. We do them on a cycle. So we'll go back and count roads several years later to see how traffic's changed. But you really hit on an important point. Where do you get the data to make these decisions? And it's through traffic counts. All of that information gets uploaded into a Pennsylvania Department of Transportation system called TIRE. And then we go over time, pull that data out, and then we can see how things have changed. So it's a really efficient system. And it's not just us doing traffic counts. PennDOT is doing traffic counts as well. They have contractors doing traffic counts. Literally, developers do have third parties that do traffic counts when they're considering building larger facilities in the Lehigh Valley, and those get uploaded to the PennDOT site. So as long as they meet the standards for the count program, but it's fairly standardized process across the entire industry, whether public sector, private sector. So you can assure yourself that the counts in that TIRE system are accurate. And then we use those for this project, and other people use them for other things as well.
And those strips are, they look kind of simple, but they actually measure a lot of stuff you wouldn't imagine. It measures not just how fast they're going and the number that are going over, but it actually measures what kind of vehicle it is, which is kind of cool. It can tell the difference between a motorcycle or a car or a truck, or the difference between a pickup truck and a much larger box truck. It kind of measures all of that.
And those tubes are actually attached to a very tiny little box at the side of the road. And that's the counting device. And it's able, as Matt said, to do all of those things.
Okay, one more kind of tactical question. Now my wheels are spinning. When you see on a road, like it'll just all of a sudden be there, there'll be like a flashing sign that says slow down, you know, and gives you your speed limit. Is that a result or a change that would have come out of assessing that roadway?
It could be. Generally, those are transportation safety, directly transportation safety related items, because they've had serious injuries, fatalities, near misses, really terrible things happen is when those signs go up. And they try to make us more mindful and to slow down and be cognizant and aware when we're driving. You know, how many times have you been driving on 22 or the northeast extension of the turnpike or 78 or even a local road, looked over and seen the car next to you, the driver like driving a vehicle and completely on their cell phone, even though it's illegal to do so? The idea is to make it safer and more mindful.
Okay. Well, another fantastic conversation about things you don't normally think about, but are important. I want to thank our hosts, of course, Matt and Becky, and thank you to Faria for being on the program. You've been listening to Plan LV. You can listen again at wdiy.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks so much and have a great night.